Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raven Podcast with your hosts Michelle Ampillo and Mandy M. Roth, where they'll talk a little about everything and a lot about nothing.
Hi, and welcome back to Raven. Our intro guy is finally back up. Thanks, Mandy.
Thanks to the boy bitch.
I'm your host, Michelle Pillow, and with me is Mandy Roth.
Hello.
How was your week?
Good. I am still covered in poison ivy, so that's fun.
You knew what I was asking, too.
Yeah, I have
tell
them
about the pus.
I'm crusty now, too. Yum, yum.
Brilliant way to start off a show, I know.
Yes, they would expect nothing less, yeah. Oh, we have a very exciting guest tonight. We have two, actually.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Angela James, executive editor of Samhain Publishing, or Samhain, or, okay, can you, like, pop into the other 12 variations of the name?
We should actually have a contest. You know, we did talk about that once, and we decided we're going to call it Samhain because that is the easiest way people can find it by knowing how to spell it.
Right, and because it's our show. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Even the owner of the publishing company said that once at a conference, so.
Yeah, yeah.
If Chrissy says it is so, it is so. Samhain Publishing it is.
Yes. We're very excited. So we have Angela joining us tonight. We also have Tilly Green. She's also a Samhain author, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. So it's an all-around Samhain night. So, yeah. How about you? Did anything exciting happen this week?
I had my book signing. It went wonderfully well, gave away a ton of goodie bags, so it was pretty exciting. Lots of fun, sold lots of books, always a good thing.
Yeah, we have lots of goodie bags. Did we tell the people about the goodie bags we have now? That we have, literally, we have Raven goodie bags.
Mm-hmm. So if you have an event that you need something for, be sure to contact us or Mandy, me, whoever.
Yes.
There's a Raven Radio address somewhere. Ravenradio at ravenhappyhour.com. I can't believe I forgot to put that one up. You are welcome to email us if you need goodie bags for any of your events. And so many authors have generously donated to them. So it's not just our stuff. It's, you know, we'll toss in whatever we have from other authors. And authors interested in having things put into the goodie bags, be sure to contact us as well. We'll be happy to include you.
Okay, I've got a question for anyone out there staring at the browser. Do you see the click to call in button yet? Sometimes there's a delay on it popping up. Do you like that? People who listen to us live, if you're not in the chat room, you always get like half of what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
For everyone else, you're welcome to call in and ask questions from either of our guests today or for Mandy and myself. The listener call-in number is 646-595-3998. It is a New York number, so long-distance charges do apply. Or for more information on using your computer to chat live with us during this broadcast, visit ravenhappyhour.com and follow the prompts for Raven Radio. It'll get you here.
Yes.
Or if you have questions or comments for future shows, you can email us questions directly at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com, and we will get to them in future shows. I know we're getting backlogged on the reader mail, or the listener mail, I guess, but we're trying, and we will eventually get there. But I want to get to our guest. Is she online yet?
No, because guess what Block Talk Radio is now flashing up in the switchboard. Are you ready for this? Because why not, right? Click to talk, ask the host, is temporarily unavailable.
Oh. So she can't call in?
She can't click in. Why?
Well, you know, everyone, we have a backup plan for this.
Yes, we do.
Mandy is going to sing the complete 80s hair band Rock the 80s CD.
The entire Michael Jackson Thriller album.
I don't hear you going with the karaoke.
Right, actually,
everybody who wants Mandy to do karaoke, give a shout out right now. Come on, chat room, you're letting me down.
If they're smart,
chat room people don't like me. They're not doing it.
Yeah, if they're smart, they'll remain very, very quiet. No, she's actually.
You muted me, didn't you? It's a one-sided conversation.
I did.
Love.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to Raven Radio.
Hi, thanks. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be terrible if the executive editor of an e-publisher couldn't figure out how to work the Internet?
Hey, Mandy, these karaoke requests are coming in for you.
Oh, yeah. See, if you didn't make it, I was going to sing the Thriller album. That was what I was going to do.
Okay,
thank you so much for calling in, Angela.
My marriage. No, it's my husband that does karaoke. Sorry, I'll have to call in.
Now, for anyone out there who doesn't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
You didn't tell me that was part of the requirements. Okay, my name is, what's my name? Oh, right, Angela James. I'm all flustered from trying to call in, and I couldn't figure out how to click the chat thing, and I was like, what did I do wrong?
You should have seen my expression when that came up with unavailable.
Bad directions.
Yeah, I'm the ultimate professional executive editor of Samhain Publishing. I have been with the company since it started. We are a company that's going into our third year. We call ourselves a small press publisher, not an e-publisher, because we do both print and e-books. And I do a little bit of everything there, include crack the whip on authors and editors.
Excellent.
That's it.
Yeah, and we're actually a couple of your authors, so ouch.
Yeah.
She's so mean. Help us.
She says, we actually have scar marks. We can prove that she does crack the whip, people. We do.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Mandy, do not get us in trouble.
No, we've
I
actually
some hard
had, we've had questions coming in steadily since we put the call out for this. And first and foremost, the biggest question is about your submissions for Samhain, and what are they and what are you looking for?
Well, rather than really going into detail about those, I'll just direct you to the website, because they're all listed. We try to be really clear on the website about the submissions guidelines. So basically, we require 3 chapters in a synopsis and a query letter. Synopsis is not a blurb. It's a synopsis. That means if your book is 100,000 words, one page is not going to be a good synopsis of your book. We say 2 to 5 pages, but whatever works to tell the story of your book. And please, tell us the ending. Don't leave it as a cliffhanger to get us to read the book, because that just makes us cranky. And a cranky editor reading your submission is never a good thing. We're not really picky about formatting. We do have some formatting guidelines on the website just to make it easier on us, but we're not going to reject your manuscript based on formatting. And I should say that we're a romance and fantasy publisher. We were a general publisher, but we formatted the company in December, and we're focusing on romance and fantasy, urban fantasy, science fiction. So if you're looking to place horror or women's fiction or chick lit, that we're not the company for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, what genres are hot with the company? What are you looking for?
That's a really good question. We like all genres, really, all genres of romance. We seem to be getting a lot of contemporary and paranormal right now.
Okay. And I read on your blog that you were looking for some urban fantasy. Is that still true? Or?
We are always looking for urban fantasy and fantasy, because most of our editors really enjoy it. Yeah.
Now, we have a ton of questions to get through, and I'm, like, trying to mark them off as we go in case you've, already answered one while answering another.
Okay.
Let's see. What do you like to see in a submission, and what turns you off in a submission?
Oh, gosh. You guys are asking all the hard questions. We like to see a submission that has obviously been seen by critique partners or has been gone over more than once. We don't like to see the first draft of your writing. So that would also be, like, grammatical errors are okay, but if you have a lot of grammatical errors, then we're probably not going to look further than the first couple of pages, because sentence structure, basic grammar, those things, we can't fix those. You still need to be able to write a good book.
Right.
What we like in the submission besides that, what everybody says, good voice, good story, something that catches our attention and doesn't make us feel like it's okay to get up and go wash the dishes.
Which is true. So you're looking for a lot of what you expect the reader to be looking for, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, we're looking for a book we can sell and sell well.
Right. Now, for everyone out there who's listening, if you want to call in and ask Angela a question, the number is 646-595-3998, 646-595-3998. It's New York number, so long distance charges do apply. You can also follow ravenhappyhour.com, follow the link to Blog Talk Radio, and you can chat live with her and ask questions in there. Okay, got that out. Whew.
And we have a lot of people joining
yet?
Us.
What's that?
I said, is it time for karaoke yet?
Yeah, excellent.
Actually, you called in and saved Mandy, so I think we're good.
Yeah, I was going to start.
Okay, Michelle, did you want to go? Oh, I was going to say, for those of you joining us in the chat room, we've had a lot of people peeking in. We are talking with Angela James, Executive Editor for Samhain Publishing. So if you have publishing questions, now's your time to get those in. Mm-hmm. And you already gave the number, so we're good. I don't have to repeat it.
Okay, we've got another question here for you. Angela, if you have a second here, let's see. What can I do to make editing easier? I've been editing this novel for months, and it's making me nuts. There has got to be a trick to this. Is there anything that helped you, or have you just always loved the torturous art of editing?
No, I didn't always love editing. Wow, that's kind of a good question. I think reading actually helps you learn to edit, because as you read, you absorb, you know, like the flow of the sentence structure and what the author is doing to capture your attention and how they're layering the characters. Self-editing is always hard because once you've looked at the book so many times, you lose sight. I know, Mandy, one of the things that you were talking about doing is you yesterday just had the computer reading your book to you.
Yes.
And I always tell people to read out loud. I mean, even if you don't have, read it out loud. Read it into a tape recorder, because when you hear something, it sounds different. You hear the stutters in the dialogue. You hear where the narrative is slowing down. It helps you find the pacing.
Right. I know Michelle listens to it, too. She does the text-to-speech editor.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
That's always my last round, is I have it read to me. And it takes a while because it's slower, but it forces you to go slow.
It's amazing what it picks up on. Like, I think I told you, Angie, the other day that I had jealousy in place of jealousy.
Right.
So,
yes.
I mean, it's something that I see it the way I want it to be because it looks so close and you're, you know, reading quick.
Right.
But
how
hearing, you know, hearing it read to me in the Stephen Hawking voice definitely told me that was wrong. So.
Well, the other thing I would say is that editing on a computer screen is also much different than editing on paper. So sometimes printing it out helps to see different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think hearing it, I did a conference actually last month, and we did cold reads, and we had an author get up, and she read the first couple pages people had submitted. And you could hear just from when she was having trouble reading them, you could hear where things were stumbling, and when your attention drifts, then you know that the pacing is wrong. And the authors and the audience said that it was really insightful for them to be able to realize, hearing it in somebody else's voice makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And it is harder, too, when you're staring at a computer screen for hours at a time writing it. You know, and by then you have it partially memorized, too, so changing the format in which you listen to it or read it is always helps.
Right. Now we've got to go ahead and hop to another one here. We have Sarah Wolf in the chat room. She wants to know, she's wondering about Samhain's policy not to allow you to submit work that has already been submitted once. I'm wondering if work is good enough but not right for a certain anthology, do they pass it along to another editor for single publication?
Yeah, that's a good question. What we actually tell people when they ask is not only is the editor evaluating it for the anthology, but they're evaluating it for the company. And not just for themselves, but for the other editors, because we all recognize, you know, we have, I can't remember, 10 or 12 editors, and we all have very different tastes in books. So the editors look not just for what they like, but they look for good craft and good story that might not appeal to them, but might appeal to another editor. And if it doesn't work for the anthology, they will pass it along. And we actually just had two anthology calls, and we only chose 7 books total for those two anthology calls, but I think there were maybe around 10 books from the two anthologies that got passed on to other editors for second chance looks.
And we have another question for you in the chat room from CMC UN5. Would like to know, is Samhain into book series by chance, or do you prefer a one book wrap up?
Oh. We'll take either a single title or a series. we generally only sign, you know, the first book of a series. You know, and it doesn't have to be done, is what I'm saying. You know, you can write the first book and say that you plan on developing it into a series. We're okay with that. We're okay with single titles. We like everything.
Do you prefer your single titles in a series to stand alone, or do you prefer, like, will you do the serials, which, you know,
yeah,
has cliffhangers at the end of a book?
You know what, as a reader, cliffhangers drive me nuts. So it's not that we don't want cliffhangers, but we do, you know, want the readers to go away with a sense of satisfaction,
mm-hmm,
and not thinking that they didn't get the whole story. Which is not to say that if you have a series that does end in a cliffhanger and the next book was done, we would try and get those out more closely together, kind of as a marketing tool.
Okay, now, real quick, if anyone wants to call in and ask Angela a question live, you can. It's 646-595-3998. All right, sorry, I had to jump that in there again. Let's see, somebody emailed and they wanted to know how it is that you got into this profession, and they were wondering how they could possibly be an editor as well.
Hard work and dedication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm stuttering because this is such a hard question to answer. I get this question a lot, actually, and I'm never really sure how to answer it because I kind of fell into it, actually. I've always been a really avid reader, and I discovered ebooks about 5 years ago, actually through Romantic Times magazines. They were doing some reviews of ebooks, and I was like, oh, ebooks, I can only get it in ebook. So I started checking them out and started joining some of the Yahoo groups, and actually Allura's Cave was looking for proofers. So I thought, okay, well, you know, why not? That's something I can do in my spare time. So I got a job with Allura's Cave as a proofer. And one of the editors there, Brianna St. James, actually became a friend of mine, and she started encouraging me to try editing because she thought I had a really good eye for it. As it turned out, I did apply for an editing job at Allura's Cave, and people are always surprised that I say this, that like I should like hide it under the carpet or something, because I'm, you know, I didn't get hired. I wasn't good enough to be an editor there, and I thought, you know what? I thought my editing skills were good, so I actually started my own business, and I did some editing for actually you, Mandy, and Michelle, and some other authors. And when Chrissy Brashear was starting the company, some of the authors that I had worked with knew that she was looking for an editor, and they told her she should try me out. And she did, and I guess the rest is history.
Yes, everybody, yes. So Angie has known us forever and a day. She knows all of our bad habits better than we do.
She knew them before we started with her. So she was ready to slap us before we even walked in the door.
And she still took us on. I'd love her for that.
I guess the second part of that question was, how do you get into editing? And that is actually a harder question to answer because I don't think there is a right way to do it. What I usually tell people is to, you know, hang out on some writers groups, offer to be like a beta reader where you start by reading an author's books before they go to an editor, and offering critiques to them, critiquing for authors, maybe find a proofing job for a company that's looking for proofers. It's hard, though, because you have to be to have somebody that's going to teach you so that you know you're learning. You're not just doing what you already know, because editing is, there's always learning in editing. You never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you need to know you're in an environment where you're going to learn some skills, not just keep using the ones that you already have.
And I think that holds true for authors too. It's always, you're always learning something new. You're always, you know, seeing something that you could tweak or change or make better and it's really like a symbiotic relationship when the two get going with it. And
right.
It really works both directions, and it's really good.
I think there's always something to learn in writing and editing, publishing, and I think it's a fallacy to think that at some point you get good enough and you don't have any more to learn. There's always something you can do different and better.
The more I know.
Except for Nora Roberts.
Yeah, the more I know, the more I realize I don't know shit. That's pretty much my philosophy to live by, unless I'm Nora. Yeah, that is. That's going to be the exception. We're going to get that on T-shirts, unless we're Nora.
Unless you're Nora.
Then you can make up your own rules. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Nora groupies. Again, anyone wants to call in, 646-595-3998. I did get tagged on IM by someone who's trying to call in but having a hard time. I'm sorry for that. The best thing to say is keep trying, and also you can hop on chat because we've got questions in here. We're going to be, you know, asking Angela, so sorry about that. Okay, Michelle, did you want to read some of the questions?
I was going to say we have a next question in the chat room. Rosetta, and this is kind of switching gears from the writing to the marketing or distribution part of the business, is why do distributors take 55% of the profits? How come this can't be negotiated?
Well, I don't think that it can't be negotiated. It depends on the distributor that you go through, the contract that you set up with them. And not all distributors take 55%. Some take more, some take less. It just depends on what you work out with the distributor. It's a tricky question because it's a give and take. It's kind of like contract negotiations.
And does it matter on the volume that you do with them as well, I'd imagine?
Yeah, it does, especially for print. That matters a lot. How much profit you make on a book, how much profit the publisher makes on the book depends on print. How much you print with the distributor. The author, of course, always gets the same print royalty.
Let's see, and what advice do you have for new writers?
I just had somebody sit down next to me at the Lori Foster event a couple of weeks ago and say, I'm a new author, I'm trying to get published, what do you suggest I do? And I think I had that deer in a headlight look on my face. And I was just like, can't you give me more time to think about this question? Is there any right way to get published? Write a good book.
Right.
I mean, that's the first step. You have to write a good book. Be professional. Approach your queries in a professional manner. Approach it as a business. And keep writing. If you've written that first book and you're trying to shop it around, don't stop writing and rest on that book. You should always be writing. It goes back to you always have something to learn. Some books aren't meant to be published. I know people don't like to hear that, but some of them are meant to hold up that figurative bed. They're meant to go under there. They're not all meant to be published. So just keep writing, keep trying, and don't give up, because it could take 50 rejections. It could take 100 rejections.
I think sometimes, too, the market might not be right at that time.
Yeah.
Because I've had books that I've written that have been, I'm ahead of their time, but have, waited 5 years on and then have done really well when they did finally come out.
I agree with that.
The market goes in cycles. Not everybody's going to want historicals at a certain time or paranormals, or it kind of depends on what's going on in the business as well.
Yes. Sherilyn Kenyon gives an excellent speech if you've ever heard her talk. And she tells about the cycle of her career. And at one point in her career, she got a rejection letter where the editor said, "We will never be interested in publishing this author. Do not submit her work to us again." Sherilyn Kenyon.
Yeah.
Sherilyn Kenyon can get a rejection letter like that and go on to hit, bestseller lists, then nobody should ever give up.
You have to wonder if that person has now been fired. You really do. You have to wonder.
They are definitely getting the coffee.
It's a great story, though. I mean, Sherilyn Kenyon. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Now, we have another question in there. They want to know, how many books on average do you think an author will sell with their first publication? This probably varies depending upon genre and everything else, too.
It does vary on genre. It varies on genre and how much promo you've done. I mean, promo really does matter. I just did a Cat Shifter anthology back in April, and I had 6 books released in the anthology, 6 novellas, and 5 of those authors were brand new authors. Not only were they brand new to Samhain, they were brand new to publishing. They had never been published before. And the bestsellers were not just the erotic. There were 2 erotic, 2 plain straight romance, and 2 urban fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 bestsellers were actually 2 of the brand new authors. One was erotic and one was not erotic. And they had been out there busting their butts promoing, and you could tell. And those new authors, the novellas, sold probably, 1,200 copies in the first 2 weeks.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, that's that gives you an idea of what you can do with, you know, that's the first 2 weeks. But on the other hand, we talked about genres. Some genres don't do as well, and you might sell 100 copies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to mislead anybody. It's widely different.
Yeah. Now, well, you opened for us to segue into another one of the questions that we received this week, which was, what can authors do to promote themselves? And what does Samhain Author offers as far as marketing books?
Oh, gosh. I don't like that first question, only because we could spend an entire show talking about what you can do to promo.
Yeah.
I think I believe in the rule of getting your name out there, not so much as how, but being out there, because I do believe in what somebody once called like the seven touch rule, or, you know, somebody sees your name seven times and it sticks. So if they're standing in a bookstore or they're scanning the online bookstore and they're trying to pick quickly, they recognize your name, so they pick yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're more likely to go with the familiar than the unfamiliar. So I don't like to answer that question because there's so much. As far as what Samhain offers, I think we do a pretty good job. We offer we do RT ads with the authors, both authors paid, and we, you know, pitch in. But we also do RT ads that Samhain pays for. We advertise all over the internet. You know, like the Smart Bitches blog, Romancing the Blog, Coffee Time Romance, Joyfully Reviewed. We're all over the internet advertising. We also, I think one of the best promotional tools that we offer the authors is online classes. That's
right.
Something that the marketing director started. And, you know, they've done everything from HTML coding in the newsletters to setting up your own brochure,
mm-hmm.
to we're doing like, you know, tax information, which isn't really so much promo, but just the fact that we're offering those classes because we want you to be able to promote yourself in addition to us promoting you. We want to give you the skills.
Right. You guys do romance sales as well, right?
Yes, we do romance sales.
Yeah, and there was some, yeah, there's some.
A lot of the authors have been doing that recently.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, I think your person helps coordinate that, is what it.
Lisa does. Yes, I think.
Yeah.
I think she does. I don't know.
And we do have a question in the chat room about this from Blondzilla. She wants to know, does class mean that you pay for it with Sam?
Oh, no, they're all free. We have a Yahoo group set up especially for that. We just Lisa announces it ahead of time. She sets up all the people to do it. Actually, one of our it's interesting. There's a just today. Did you guys see the video going around for the Rita Contemporary finalists?
No, not yet.
There's a really cute YouTube video for the Rita Contemporary finalists, and it's a great guerrilla marketing thing where they're all kind of videotaped, like pretending to, you know, like go at each other verbally. One of our editors was involved in the making of that. She helped make it, and she and one of the other authors, Diane Holquist, I believe, are actually going to be offering the Samhain Authors a class on making that type of video. So it's all free. Yeah, it's all free. We set it up for you. We pay the instructors. We think it's like an investment. You know, an
mm-hmm.
investment in your career is an investment in our company.
Right. And I know a lot of us were asking, I don't know if this is still policy, but we had been asked for a marketing plan. And then the marketing director there agreed that she would look them over and help tweak if anyone was having issues or needed it looked at further, which is not something
right.
that, you know, any of the other companies I've run with have done.
Yes, she still does that, especially for newer authors coming in. She'll look at their marketing plans and help them out. And sometimes a lot of people don't think of marketing plans, but it can really help you focus your efforts, and
yeah.
especially for money if you have limited money.
Well, I think it does, too, to have kind of a record of what you've tried and if it's working or not, you know, so you can try it again or not, because I know Mandy and I keep both monthly records of what we do.
Yes, you're both a little over-organized that way.
Well, actually, Mandy is. Mine's Post-it notes. And scribbles in a notebook, but I can decipher it.
I think it's hard sometimes to track what's working because, again, it goes back to that just sometimes it's just getting your name out there. But, yeah, I think it's a good thing to do.
Now, we still have a lot of questions for you that we weren't able to get to in this half of the show. So we went to On Air. Get a commitment from you that you will join us again on Raven Radio.
There is an amusing question I do want to ask her before you kick her off.
No, make her say yes now because I know
okay.
her.
Well, you know, I'm going to be traveling for the next couple of months. I'm going to be out of town for like 6 weeks. So not anytime soon, but yeah, in the future.
So October, got it.
No, actually, I have a lot of travel planned in October, too, so maybe September.
November, got it.
And before you ask my question, I do just want to mention that I'll be at RWA Nationals. I'll be in New Zealand and Australia at their conferences and somewhere else. I'll be at NJRW in Emerald City this fall, and I'll be doing workshops at those places, and I'm also going to start an online series of articles about e-publishing, and it's going to be titled Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About E-Publishing and Some Things That You Didn't Know You Needed to Know.
And so where are those going to be available at?
I'll post links to those on my blogs. I'm actually doing it with a website. I don't have the website in front of me, so I don't want to tell you incorrectly. So I'll be posting it on my website. The first article will actually be coming out July 15th, I think. And then I'll also be doing an online workshop with Romance Divas based on romancedivas.com based on the same information. So, you know, if you have questions about e-publishing, and I'm very frank. I've given the workshop. I gave it at Arizona, and I'll talk about e-publishing. I'll talk about the good and the bad. So don't be afraid to ask me questions.
Now, also, we'll have Angie get us the information on the article she's going to do in that and the links for it, and we'll stick it up on the Raven blog so that you guys can all be directed to where it goes. So we'll definitely put that up for her. And thank you very much for taking time out to join us. And sorry to everyone if we didn't get your question asked. We had tons from, you know, emailing all week, and then we've also had some we haven't been able to get to in the chat room. But we will have you back on before the end of the year because mainly we know your number. Yeah.
Okay. Does Michelle want to ask me the amusing question?
Yeah. Oh, I just thought it could be an amusing story. It was one of them that was mailed in. It was, what was your most memorable response from someone whose MS you have edited? And I'm going to throw in, or rejected, and why?
Actually, the most memorable response was not to a manuscript that I rejected, but it was to one that another editor had rejected. And the author actually started a blog just so she could talk about how wrong the editor was. And that was kind of a shock to all of us because we used to do personal rejections, and we found that with personal rejections we were getting a lot of responses that were telling us how wrong we were. we had to go, which, you know, was kind of disappointing to us because personal rejections take a long time to write. And also because we felt that if they had submitted it to us, they must trust our judgment. And so, but shortly after that, we did decide to go to form letter rejections because it saved us time, and it's, you know, just it we didn't get as many responses back that were telling us how
you
wrong
didn't have
we
were. A Angela Hader blog dedicated to you, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Hey, I've been there. I've had them dedicated to me.
I'm sure there's a few out there. Yeah. You guys have an underground one you just haven't told me about.
We write.
I think
ourselves.
My hater blog had something to do with knitting. I got lost.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. And everyone, real quick, Angie, can you give your link for Sam Hain and also your blog?
The link is www.samhainpublishing. It's S-A-M-H-A-I-N publishing.com. And my blog is nicemommy-eviteditor.com/blog. And that's not, you know, that's more like my personal blog. And I talk, be prepared, I don't talk a lot about editing. I'm pretty chatty on my blog. I talk about books and crafts and my 3-year-old quite a bit. And things like
but she's
that.
Adorable,
so
that's okay.
Yeah, so if you're not, you know, if you don't want to hear, like, you know, about my 3-year-old, then you might not want to read my blog. But sometimes I talk about editing and give some insight into things.
All right. Well, thank you again very much.
Yeah, Angela, thank you so much for joining us.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Was that the Leave Us Alone music, or what was that? I thought you were kicking me off.
Hi, Tilly.
Hello there, ladies. Boy, that was really interesting listening to Angela.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, even if you write for a publishing house, you still learn loads of information by hearing somebody actually just sit down and talk. I felt bad.
And, you know, she gets these questions probably, like, everywhere she goes, too, which is kind of funny. She probably has to, like, answer the same thing over and over and over again.
That's it. And at least this way she doesn't have some author standing in front of her staring at her with a notepad and pen.
Yeah,
that's
got to
be the worst.
giving her puppy dog eyes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I've written the best book. It's taken me 12 years.
Please, wait, I did that to her, so maybe I shouldn't mock it. Okay.
Of course you can, because you did it. We all did.
Now, real quick, can you tell everybody who you are and what did
you
do?
Oh, yes, hello. Sorry. I am Tilly Green, and I actually do write for Sam Hain, amongst others, and I absolutely adore you two. You're so organized that even
go
though...
on.
You put me to sleep, and you're right when I think, okay, I'm actually getting it all in order. You guys just are like magic.
And I'd like to say I'm sorry. I have spelled her name wrong to publicize her coming all week, and I'm sorry for that.
Oh, God,
sorry,
don't worry.
C-A-L-L-Y, and I keep inserting an E in there for some reason.
Well,
apparently,
you know
I like it with an E.
That's it. You know, you call somebody with, like, Annie, it's usually I-E.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's, don't worry about it.
I'm so sorry, and I felt so bad, and I was like, oh, it's already, I hit send, and it was too late to bring it back.
Don't you love that, though? You hit send, and you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, once I sent out very, very, very private information about myself to the boards, like home address and everything, and I was like, oh,
people are digging up that email now.
I can't remember what movie or show it was from, but I remember somebody was, like, chasing it down to the wall to unplug the computer. And you think of that. You think, if I just unplug it, will it stop? God, don't be so stupid. Of course it won't. It's gone.
So now you write for Sam. What is it that you write? What genre do you write in?
Well, I write a multitude of genres because, I don't know, I'm ADD author or something. But for Sam Hain, I do futuristics.
Okay. I would have more questions prepared. I just dropped your sheet and it went everywhere. So it's like three-page pickup to find out where I was.
Not a problem.
Well, the wonderful Michelle will sweep in. Don't worry.
Okay, I'm going to get the papers in, okay?
Okay.
You actually just had a release with FaZe Publishing, right?
I did. FaZe, I write. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. What it is it's called Haute Couture. And I, in a previous life or before I started writing, I actually went to school to be a fashion designer. And I had this, I mean, I did everything. And I even had one report that I had to send out and pick a major designer to look at over my portfolio and tell me, you know, how was it going and everything. And I chose Calvin Klein, and I still have the letter he wrote. And it was the nicest letter. It said, it looks like you're great. You're very organized. Everything looks perfect. I don't have any, you know, a few comments here and there. And I thought, oh, fantastic. I had to sew one item out of my little selection there, and it sucked. And I thought, oh, God, I can't be a fashion designer. So, you know, this is, I have always been into fashion, and this book is all about various parts of the fashion world. So I have a muse, one of the, it has, Haute Couture has three stories in it. The first one is The Leather Bride, and it takes place in New York. And it's a muse. The designer's kind of, you know, she's just your average Joe Blow. In fact, she's an accountant. But she's this one designer's muse. The second one is Tammy Marie Antoinette, and she's a graduate student who is doing a exhibition on haute couture, which is the proper French designs. And then the third one is The Gilded Cage, which is about a jeweler in London. And so I've just gone all over the world, the fashion world, and I've gone all over the fashion genre, and it is contemporary, and it is very spicy because they have a passion for fashion and bondage. So there's a little.
Oh, come on. They even know what kind of leather grade that is.
I mean, the titles give it away, doesn't it? Leather Bride,
yeah.
Taming, Gilded Cage. You know, it's like, ew.
When you were doing the design in that, and you were in it, did you ever envision yourself writing?
You know what? Yeah, I did. I envisioned, this is very odd, children's books. I'm a huge children's book fan. In fact, you know, if I go out and hit a bookshop, the first place I go to is the children's section and see who has what's coming out. And my biggest problem is pop-up books. Oh, my God, I just too many. I'm a member of the Movable Book Society, and I go to their conventions. I'm just a total geek when it comes to pop-up books.
I'm and, that fool that's always like, how'd they do that? Wait, if I close the page a little, what happens to the dinosaur's mouth?
It's just amazing. In fact, I did teach a little class one time, little kids how to make a pop-up, and I was like, I could do this. Is there a job where you could just, like, do pop-ups for life? And then I saw how hard it actually is. I was like, no. I so can't do the glue and the cutting a straight line. And I mean, I suck at cutting a straight line. But even with an arrow, you know, with a ruler, no, not going to happen.
Well, no, we have a question for you. Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
You said the exact same thing I was going to.
We're sharing the brain cell again.
Oh, dear.
It's my week.
I know. We usually sign up for it. And, well, we both needed it tonight. So it was like, yeah.
Sarah Wolf in the chat room would like to know, what helped you most as a beginning author, certain books, websites, articles on writing, anything like that?
Boy, you know, I'm the wrong person to ask, because my first and always the first advice I ever give somebody is one that another author gave to me one time, and that is put your butt in the chair and do the work until you actually sit down, put the time in, and write the flipping story. First draft through, just write it, get it down there, and then worry about everything else. That would be, you know, I didn't go to any websites. My favorite authors, shoot, I just went and got the new Janet Ivanovich book today because I'm a huge geek when it comes to Morelli or Ranger. But, you know, I just, yeah, that's a hard one, actually. I've never taken classes for it. Because, like I said, I wanted to be a children's author. Not much help when it comes to erotic romance author. You know, draw a nice little pig, but no.
You can make a really interesting pop-up for an erotic book, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. I have thought of it.
See where my mind goes?
I'm so there, because I think there is a pop-up called The Pop-Up of Sex, and it's stupid. It's really bad. So it's like, I could do better.
From fluffy to bondage, someone just commented in the chat room.
Oh, God. I know. Oh. Got to stretch it, right?
So have any of your, like, personal experiences, have they made it into hot couture?
They did, yeah. When it came to, well, Taming Marie Antoinette comes top of my mind, because I had 3 days to prepare to go to Paris. It was total my husband saying, I'm going to Paris, you want to go? Yeah, of course I do. It's like, oh, crap.
Was that even his question?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, sometimes it is, because, like, he's in Lisbon right now, and I didn't want to go because I've been before, and I don't like fish, and that's all they eat is fish. It's like a country of fish. And it's like, no, nah, that's right. I'll stay home. Thank you, though. But, yeah, so I did do Paris with him, and, you know, he qualified it the day beforehand that there might be other corporate wives there, and that's what I don't do. I'm not a, you know, not a corporate wife, because inevitably it comes with the question, so what do you do? And so when I went, I had this idea for doing Taming Marie Antoinette. And so I had ideas as to what I wanted to do, but I had this other wife to go around with. So what I did was I labeled it a hot chocolate hunt. And the hot chocolate, actually, one of my favorite places that we went to, made it into the book, and I just, it was really a spectacular place to go for hot chocolate. I think I did 3 different places, and they were all, oh, my God, so delicious. I could go back and do just that again.
How did you ever make it home?
Well, skirt didn't fit so well, but that's all right.
Might be a chocolate statue, like, in the corner.
Oh, God.
Sticking out at night.
There was one place where the hot chocolate was so thick, your spoon stood up in the cup. It didn't flop over to the side. It wasn't like liquidy. And they gave you a pitcher of water, iced water, to drink so that you could rinse your mouth out between cups. You know, cause
I was just thinking that. I just made the face like, oh, that's got to be really sweet.
Oh, it was so thick. You know, when people were telling me, I thought, no, like, I can't possibly drink that. Oh, yeah, I could.
Yeah. I'm thinking grab a spoon and go.
Yeah, really. But I felt like, you know, one of those kids where you're like chucking the glass down for that last little smidgen and you want to rub your fingers through, you know, the plate to try and pick up everything that's left. And I was like, okay, can't embarrass yourself that much.
I made parfait the other day for my kids for the first time, and they did. They licked the cups. And I just sat there looking at them like, did I raise you in a barn?
You know what? Yes, you did. You raised them right. Total appreciation for everything you do.
I couldn't even eat mine. My nose was crawling. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't look at this stuff.
It is good, though. I did. Paris was good. And then with the Gilded Cage, I used to live in England. So I took the characters up north out of London to my neck of the woods when I lived there. That was fun. That was fun.
So now, how many places have you lived?
I've actually only lived in three places. I just do a lot of traveling and, you know, get to stay there for like I think I was in India for about 3 weeks. And, you know, you pick these places and you stay a while, and my husband does work and I just mosey around and get to know places. And but
are
yeah,
you looking for live-in sisters? Michelle and I are available.
Oh, yeah. I do take a big suitcase, you know, anyone can pile in, right?
Just stick the chocolate in with me. I'll be good. Won't even know I'm there except for a few, like, you know, jerking jitters.
You won't get her out of it at the hotel either. She'll get out. No, I'm good.
Seriously, yeah. Eiffel Tower, great.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, really. It's like, uh-huh, another building. Okay, there's bridge. Yeah. Where's the chocolate?
Let's go to that spoon place you were talking about.
You mentioned some writing different genres in that. Now, once again, what genres do you write?
Okay, I write Western and Shapeshifters for Allura's Cave. Mm-hmm. Then I do the Military and Bondage for Faze, Futuristic for Samhain, and Contemporary with a little bit of Bondage for Whiskey Creek Press Toward. And then, I have one straight out heart basic erotica at Love You Divine. It's my only one that I tried where it was just sex. And interesting.
Now, what one haven't you done yet?
I haven't done historicals.
Me either.
I'm terrified of it because I love them.
Me too.
Yeah.
I do too. See, Michelle, I swear to God, she's just sitting there. She's like, can spit out all these facts about stuff. And I have to look up everything, like what I had for dinner last week, let alone what someone did 100 years ago. So, yeah.
You know, and using words that aren't appropriate for that time frame, you know.
Right.
I used to take ancient Greek, and I remember the professor telling me, your accent is horrible. And I turned around and said, how do you know it's a dead language? And ever since then, it's like, you got to be kidding me. I'm supposed to remember or know what somebody's accent was thousands of years ago? Take it how I say it and get over it.
Yeah.
And he wore a cravat with a eyebrow, too. It was just, a horrible class.
Reincarnated. He had first-hand experience. He just knew these things.
I know. I just knew it. You know, it's like,
Yeah. Now, Obonzo wants you to elaborate further on the futuristics. Are we talking robots on another planet or space cowboys?
We're actually talking another planet. And it's not necessarily an other planet, because I'll tell you about Zandia, which is the more recent one. It's about women and how, and Zandia, the furthest planet in the known universe at the time, actually is pretty piss poor when it comes to women's rights. So the heroine leaves the planet despite everything. She just goes away and gets a job as a translator on not modern day Earth. It's, I think it's like about 1,000 years from now. So it's quite in the distance, but not so unrecognizable. And I like that. I like looking at the relationships more than what is so different about the world themselves, you know, technology-wise and that. I prefer how have people changed, or have they not at all, and in this case, they hadn't at all. And that challenges me to make it fit, you know, take the future and put an old concept into it, total degradation for women, and have them leave. And what do they do to solve the problem? And I like that. I like challenges like that.
Now, when you were writing futuristics, were you influenced by anything in particular, books or, you know, Trekkie fan, Firefly fan, anything like that influence you?
No. I, as a kid, Star Trek bored me to death. I really didn't like it. Now, maybe because it was the William Shatner kind with the horrible clothes.
That was for me, wasn't it, Mandy?
I'm sorry, it was karate chopping.
What were those little things? Are you a Star Trek fan?
I was a Captain Kirk fan. I just thought he was hot. He could do no wrong, you know?
Yeah, well, do you remember Richard Hatch? He was in, like, Battlestar Galactica.
Okay, yes.
I thought he was a hottie.
Isn't he on it again?
I don't know. My husband gets the Science Fiction Channel on, and it's Doctor Who, because, you know, it's like, oh!
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah, that's it, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm agreeing. I'm addicted. Doctor Who, Ghost Hunters, shut up, Mandy.
No, don't.
Stargate, SG-1.
Now, see, I did see, wasn't that a movie, Stargate?
Yeah, I saw that, and I was actually late. I got into Stargate SG-1 as, like, it was ending its 10th year.
Oh, yeah, see, that's what happened to me. I got into the Star Trek with, like, Deep Space Nine or one of those, and it was, like, the last four shows. You got to be kidding me. You just hooked me on it, and now you're leaving?
That was me in Farscape.
Oh.
I watched the finale.
God. And you're, like, waiting for the next one coming up. You know, it's a new season will be coming.
Great thing about sci-fi is they'll have these marathons, and they'll actually run all the old seasons, so I've caught up on them.
and
I don't have to wait 10 years.
Yeah, really.
Real quick,
it's all
we
want to
make sure everyone gets your website address in that before we end today.
Oh, sure. It's www.pillygreen.com, which is pillygreene.com. Did I say it slowly? I've had a couple of Coke Zeros.
And you didn't add the extra E, which I always try to do.
Oh, I can't tell you how many E's I will type sometimes in the center, the E's. It's like,
right.
And you got the glasses on and you're looking at going, is that three? Or is that, it's like, okay, just start over and do it again slowly.
I invert the N and the D in my name. And people, that's my real name. Wow. I'm like, oh, look, it's maddening.
Just me, you know. Just fingers and brains working together. That's all.
Yeah. I like to buy a vowel. Okay, and also, your newest release is what?
Oh, my latest release is Haute Couture, H-O-T, and then Couture is C-O-U-C-U-R-E. And it's three stories, erotic romances with a bit of bondage, just to spice it up a bit.
And I noticed that readers can purchase those through the front page of your website if anyone's looking to check those out.
I mean, you can go to Amazon, or if you're personally, I look forward to BookSense, the independent bookshop, to sort out. I've talked to our local bookseller and told them they need to figure out how to do it so that people can find their local bookshop and not have to just do the big box shops, because, you know, you want to support a local firm, and they just make it too bloody difficult.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely the independent booksellers.
Yeah. We didn't have an option but to link to Amazon.
I know. It's
the thing, yeah. Yeah. But, no, thank you very much for joining us, Tilly. And, everyone, please check out her new book and her site and that. And we're going to have to get her on here again, definitely.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I really enjoyed listening to Angela, and I'm sorry you had to cut her short.
Oh, no,
it's
fine. We'll make her come back.
I put on devil horns, and I was laughing really hard. I was like, get out!
Well, it's not like you don't know where to find her, you know. You just have to hold back your own material, and she'll be, like, hunting you guys down.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll hold it ransom.
Kind of the cross at me. Stay
there
back
you go,
again.
Ransom.
I want no more. All right, well, thank you very much, Tilly.
Okay,
thank you, guys.
Okay,
all
bye.
Right.
Bye. Oh, two wonderful guests today. I love it.
Yes.
I'm
going to forever imagine her with leather and chocolate now. Just forever.
Was anybody else salivating during the chocolate?
I
mean, I started
some of your
drooling.
Land on my
wiping my mouth. And the spoon sticks up, and I'm just going, I'm imagining eating this as she's talking. I lost my place.
Before we run out of time, I want you to tell everybody about your newest release.
Oh, chocolate?
I got to bring you back down off the chocolate high.
I'm trying to think of chocolate release. Oh, hey, it is about food. It's a nice segue. Recipe for Disaster was just released. It was what I was signing this weekend. Beautiful book cover. I love it. It is available at Amazon.com or bookstores. Basically, it's about a chef, which is kind of funny because, as most people know, I do not cook.
Nope,
but it was a lot of fun to write. And, I microwave. I can bake.
Basic, but I was trying not to bring that up because it was humiliating to you.
Cardboard pizza, you name it, I can do that. If it comes in a box and directions. Yes.
So now, Recipe for Disaster is now out and available.
Mm-hmm. And people who want to know more about it can go to my website, michellepillow.com, spelled just like it sounds, or the ravenhappyhour.com website.
Yes.
And the next book in the series will be released this November.
And it's called
Degrees of Passion. You're making me think. It's nighttime. I'm on
and
the chocolate.
Oh, and I should tell everybody that whenever the next batch of releases come out from NCP this week or this weekend or start of next week, I don't know when, Bella Mia, Daughter of Darkness 3, will be in that.
Yay!
So, finally. I want to, like, dance around with, like, the touchdown dance that you see people doing. Like, finally, yes! It's been 3 years in the making, and damn, that feels good. Yeah, everybody has to get it and love it, damn it. You don't get a choice, okay?
Buy it. I get an advance copy, so, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Mel to Mandy, remember our rule. No, two wonderful guests tonight. We really want to thank Angie and Tilly for joining us and for all the people who have popped in the chat room. I know there's been several of them, so I was going to do a roll call. But
there's actually
popping in and out, and I would feel bad if I couldn't include everybody. But thank you all who have joined us.
Everybody,
we love that you have here.
Stop by Raven website and check out the shoe thing we've got going on, because Michelle will be posting some pictures soon about where the shoes have been out visiting her, and they're going to take off and visit the first reader. And if you would like these really hideously funky, ugly, pretty princess shoes to visit you, take a picture with, you can sign up on there and let us know. And we're hoping these suckers make it all around the world and back again. So,
yes, definitely check that out. Next week you can join us. We have USA Today bestselling author Yasmin Gelnorn, who writes bestselling paranormal romance and urban fantasy. She will be joining us next week for, I believe, the full hour.
I think she's going to talk about our Sisters of the Moon series, so we're excited about that. So.
And so if you have questions for Yasmin Gelnorn, be sure to tune in next week or to email us at ravenradio@ravenhappyhour.com, and we'll be happy to pass those along to her. And then July 2nd, we have Zena Wynn and Mary Wine. Same thing. If you have questions for them, feel free to email us. And again, those show times are every Wednesday from 11 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern.
And I know sometime next month we're having, like, the head of the Tarot Card Association come on. She's going to do some readings for us live. That's going to be fun. So, yeah. Yeah, I ran out of things to talk about now, so I was just going to sit here and start.
Oh, I was reading the chat room questions. Okay. Well, we will have to get to them next week. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much, guys. Bye-bye.